to listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and this is the third and final part of the life and times of baby boomer Mick Elliott. Over the past two programs, we've learned that Mick was born in Melbourne in 1948 and developed a passion for music in general and guitar playing specifically. He was in his first band at about the age of 16 and paid his musical dues playing in a range of blues, rock and even pop groups all around Melbourne, before becoming a keen player in such notable groups as Sid Rumpo, the Wild Beaver Band, Southern Cross, Western Flyer, Stars, and many more. In this final program, Mick continues his stories and thoughts on Australian music, as well as his opinions on current social issues. His stories of his visits to the Northern Territory and his work there tell us more about his passion for music and his passion for this country. Mick is an unassuming man who is now rapidly reaching his 70s, and while he still plays from time to time and teaches guitar, he's largely retired, and now he looks forward to a time when he can move and see out his final years in the Northern Territory. We pick up with Mick talking about his opinions on the world. You've now lived long enough on this planet to sort of form some solid opinions, because you can look back over quite a few years. Do you think things generally in the world have got better or worse when you look at the situation as it is now out there?
No, I don't think I think the world's a pretty scary place at the moment.
What scares you mostly? What do you have most fear about?
I'm concerned about the North Korea-America thing, for sure. And especially with the two people in charge on both sides.
A bit of a loony on both, isn't it?
Tell me about it, yeah. It's pretty scary stuff, you know.
You mentioned, of course, during the thing that you did get married and you did have a daughter.
Yeah.
Have you got any grandchildren?
Yeah, three.
Do you actually fear for their future? Do you ever think about what they're growing into?
I've thought about it, yeah.
What about on a broader sense? Okay, I think most sane people would look at what's happening between Korea and the United States and shake their heads and go, please, no. What about these other issues like global warming and ecology and things like this? Do you have any thoughts about what's going down there, about the way we're treating the planet?
Well, I think global warming is a thing. I think it's for real, for sure. Yeah, I'm concerned about it, yeah. I'm concerned about it.
Working with Dutch, that would have been an interesting gig, but where did that lead you to next? Because that's got us in the 80s and a lot of years.
Yeah, and I did some time after Dutch. I did some time with an old face, Lynn Randell.
Lynn, was this after she came back from the States or before she went to the States?
Before she went, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, I was in her band for quite some time. And
because, you know, for those people listening who aren't our generation, she was quite a big gig.
In her day, she was a big star, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But she was a bit mucked up, Lynn. It's quite sad. She's a bit sad, really. And she was doing a lot of grog and quite a few drugs. And, of course, in the end, she suicided.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. And I ran into her in Toorak Road, Toorak, not long before she died, and we had a chat and all that, and not long after that she suicided.
It's very sad when people get to that state, isn't it, of mind, that that's the only way out.
So
roughly how long were you working with Lynn? Was that a matter of weeks, months?
No, months. Probably a year or more.
Okay, so quite a bit of gigging.
Oh yes, there's a lot of work for her.
Yep.
Especially in country towns and stuff.
I was going to say, was this Melbourne clubs or
out in the sticks? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because they all know Lynn Randell from that era, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was in a country band for a while called Billy Jack. played mainly Western Suburbs and all those. I was with Cash Backman for a while. You remember Cash Backman?
Cash Backman was quite a big man.
Played in his band for a while in 1980-something. And
so your musical style and your musical loves, it sounds like it allows you to play right across the spectrum, everything from sort of really solid blues right through rock through country.
Yeah.
You've got the lot.
Yeah, that's what I always played, blues, rock and roll, whatever, you know.
What it's called, yes.
Country. I've always liked country, always.
Because there's opportunity for good licks in country, isn't there?
Fantastic. I like all the pedal steel sort of stuff you can do,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Which I, my favourites are people, I like, you know, Vince Gill, James Burton, all those sort of people, you know, that do all that.
So, from Western Suburbs, where did you go next?
And then I went back to driving cabs. And then in 1990, I got an offer from a band to go up to Darwin for 6 weeks' work and accommodation. And I was driving a cab and I thought, what the hell, I'll do this. So I did. And I stayed in Darwin for 7 years.
You went up for a few weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks work and accommodation, stayed for 7 years.
You got up there with this band.
It
did its thing and folded, did it?
It basically folded after the 6 weeks. And then I formed these other bands and they worked. And then, unfortunately, Darwin went like everywhere else. It died with the gigs and the bands, and suddenly it was all duos and solos and all that stuff was going on. Darwin was the same. And I got a job in a place up there called Top End Sounds, which was a big music place. They used to do the production for all the overseas acts and all that, all over the territory.
What, as a studio muser or behind the desk?
No, behind the desk. I was the hire manager.
Oh, okay.
I was the hire manager. And one day this guy walked in, one of these deals. He said, I know your face. And I said, I know your face. It was one of those ones. It was a guy called Mark Smith who played bass with Johnny Chester. And he was up there doing solo work. And he said, I'm doing solo work. Do you want to bring your guitar along and just sit in with me tonight? I'm playing it. And so I went along and played a couple of sets with him. He said, I really like this. Do you want to join up? So I joined up with him and we did a duo for about the last 3 years I was there. And we were really popular. And we played all over. We were going to Tennant Creek, Ellis, Groot Island, all over the
You got to see quite a bit
all
of
the territory. It was bloody fantastic. It was a great experience. I go up to the territory any chance I get.
Right, so you really love it.
That's great. I go back all the time. I go to Darwin every 1 or 2 years.
Right.
Always. I love it. It's great.
What is it about it that really grabs
you? It's wild. You know, you get out of the city, it's wild. It's crocodiles out there to get you and all that. It's great. It's another planet. It's different. Everything's different. The plants are different. The water's a different colour. The sand's different. It's all different to say here. It's another new world. It's a different world.
So not only are you really involved audio-wise with your ears and music, but it sounds like you also appreciate with your eyes what you're seeing.
Yeah, well and truly, yeah.
Because that's probably the only place in Australia I haven't been yet.
Yeah.
And I understand it's quite beautiful up there.
Yeah, and I love the tropics. I love the tropical weather. I
love the weather.
You know, it's bloody great.
Well, what sort of audiences were you getting up there? I mean, who were you playing to?
Well, we used to do, with the duo, there was a lot of clubs in Darwin at that time, so we were quite popular in the clubs. But we used to also go to the Air Force and the Army and the Navy bases all the time. And that was real regular work for us. And my favourite place we used to go was Tyndall, out of Katherine.
Tyndall Air Base, yes.
And we used to go there quite a lot, and we'd go for 2 weeks at a time or whatever. And they would look after you. You could not spend a cent. Everything was laid on, as much grog as you wanted to drink, much food as you wanted to eat. It was bloody fantastic. I used to love it. And I got that far from going up in a fighter jet. One of the guys was going to take me up. It was all organised. And in the end, they said, no, we better not do this just in case.
Must have been disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you went, I understand. But in your heart,
was that close? Was that close?
Very ironical, because if we go back to the 60s, when you and I were in bands, whether it was together or with other people, the last thing you would have ever thought of was hanging out with people in the Air Force or the Army, would it? I mean, they were almost the enemy then because, you know, they had the short hair, we had the long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, you know, 40 years later, they're welcoming you with open arms.
That's right, yeah.
It's a funny world.
It is, yeah. And those guys, those young pilots, they were great guys, and they partied on too, I hate to say it. So I hope, you know, I hope they went up there in those planes with a hangover the next day. That's a bit scary because they partied on. They didn't muck around. But no, that duo was a great experience.
Mm.
Not musically, but...
But what it led to.
What it led to was great.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to play in front of many Indigenous people?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What were their reactions to your music?
They love guitar players. If you're half decent on a guitar, you can do no wrong.
Right.
You can do no wrong. I remember when I went up with the band, the original band, and the place was called the Nightcliffs, FJ's at the Nightcliffs is what it was called. And we finished, we used to leave the gear set up because we were living there as well, you know.
Yep.
And we finished the gig one night, and this Aboriginal guy comes up on stage, and I'm rolling up leads and putting my guitar away and saying, "Great show," this is, makes me laugh, "great show, mate," and all this, and say, "Yeah, thank you. And he says, "Got to go now, bro. You know, everything's bro."
Mm.
And I said, "Yeah, see you, bro." And, you know, being busy. And I just happened to look at him, catch a glimpse of him. And just as he disappears out of sight off the stage, I notice he's got one of our microphones in his back pocket. he almost got away with it.
How did that fall in there?
No, they love guitar players.
Yeah.
They love guitar players. And we did a few bush rodeos and all that sort of stuff, and it's pretty... To me, it's funny.
Yeah.
To me, it's funny. And everyone's got their hats on and the boots and pissed and, you know, the whole bit. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So what happened at the end of that 7-year period? I mean, there's a lot of things happened during that period, yeah. As you said.
Well, I came back here, just the same thing, odd jobs, and not any real... I haven't really done any full-time band since I got back. Done gigs, but nothing full-time.
Is this because, A, you're getting older and it's getting harder to get gigs, B, the music audiences have changed, or C, you just... don't have the drive?
I don't try. I can't be bothered. I mean, I'd love to play, but I just can't.
Are the opportunities there as many as
I could look for
them? Yep.
I think if I was to go and hang out in Sydney Road, Brunswick, I'd soon pick up a gig. I'm not going to do it. Not from here. I'm not going to drive there from here. Be a nervous wreck about 0.05 and all the road. Too hard. You know what I mean?
I mean, while you were talking, I was just doing some rough calculations in my head back to that first band that you were and I in. That was 54 years ago. That's a lot of music, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That's an awful lot of music.
Well and truly, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure as a young guy then you never even thought about the possibility that you'd be playing in 50 years' time. You'd still be playing in...
Wow, the turning 50 was that far away.
Oh, that's right.
What are we going to be like when we're 50?
Yes. Keeping 70. Time with our walking sticks.
Yeah. And now we're 70 or whatever.
Yeah, we're 70.
Yeah.
It's quite a journey, isn't it?
It is. I'm glad I did it.
Any regrets?
Not really. No.
Anything you would change if you could?
No, I don't think so.
That's a really healthy place to be isn't it?
I don't think so. It would have been nice to... I suppose being successful and made a lot of money, but it's not a big deal.
And realistically, if you look at the number of, even if just say from 1964 to 1974, the number of musicians that started in a 10-year period, how many of them actually really made real money?
That's
a very
right.
small amount, isn't
yeah.
it?
I mean, the closest I probably got was, I was almost in LRB, the original LRB. That's how close I got.
But I was talking to another friend of yours, another very close friend of yours, Chris Stockley, recently, who was in similar sorts of bands.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he still didn't make any real money.
No, that's right.
You know, the experiences were great, as he said, and it helped him with his craft and his songwriting.
Yeah.
But he didn't really get any richer.
No, that's right. No, I mean, he did the Axiom thing, didn't he?
That's right.
And Dingoes.
That's right.
You know, and you think the guy would be worth a fortune, but he's not.
Well, I mean, I think what money that Chris made, he did... as you did, getting out there, doing things other than in music. That's where the money is, but the passion is in the music.
Yeah, well and truly.
And
well
that's and obviously truly, yeah. the same for you, yeah, yes.
Yeah. No, so, I wouldn't change it at all, no.
What's been the biggest change in the music industry over that period of time, that 50 plus years, from when you started out to now?
I don't know if I should, I could get shouted down for saying this, but...
Right, not by me, you won't.
Because there's people I know who are part of it, but Australia and Melbourne particularly is just overrun with cover bands and tribute bands. They're hogging, should I say this? They're hogging the scene. They're keeping people out of work. Original bands out of work. If you want to be an original band now, it's a hard road. It's a hard road.
I'm both friends and neighbours with, and I know you know them, Glyn Mason and his partner Sam C, who have been, like yourself, in many iconic Australian groups, and they still play together now. And it's interesting you say that, because they're still writing their own material, they're still playing their own material, but they get far more gigs when they do covers.
Yeah, well, that's it, exactly.
It's as if that's what the venue owners want. Do you think it's because that's what the venue owners want, or is it what the audiences want?
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I mean, the audience take what they can get, I suppose. I don't know if they have a say.
I just wonder whether it's because people are now starting to want to relive those lost years, you know.
Yeah.
And that the music of the 60s and the 70s, and even the 80s to a degree, but particularly the 60s and 70s, a lot of our generation relate to that music.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah,
it's, yeah. You get to a certain age and you look back and you go, well, I remember that music. That was great music.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, but you're right about the number of bands covering and
tribute.
The tribute bands are very strange creatures.
Oh, you've got Creedence Tribute, got Eagles, you've got Mellencamp, ABBA. It's just
epic. You've even got tribute bands to Pink Floyd.
Shit, is it?
That's right, you name it.
Thing flashing again. They're hogging all the work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah. I'm not after the money.
Well, you've made that clear several times.
I'm not after the money.
Yes.
I mean, I've been doing... I haven't quite for quite some time. I was doing some gigs. Do you remember Tinsley Waterhouse?
Mm-hmm.
I was doing some gigs with Tinsley over in those Brunswick pubs. And they're usually a door deal or part of the bar takings. All the gigs I did with Tinsley, if it was a big day, you might make $60. And if it was an okay day, you'd probably get $40 in your pocket. I mean, petrol. That pays for petrol.
That's pays. That's literally pays for petrol.
That's all you get.
Which is interesting, because that's basically all you earned as a young man playing, wasn't it? If you were lucky, petrol money.
Yeah. So I live in Seaford. I drive all the way to Brunswick, load my gear, do the gig, pack up, drive all the way home, and if it's a big day, I've got $60. There you go.
Even worse than that, without wanting to put words in your mouth, but... I'm a member of a lot of music groups on Facebook, but there's one association for indie musicians in particular,
right,
where one of the great passionate hates at the moment is the number of venues that open up and say, looking for opportunities, come and play for us for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, all these young bands go, oh, great, get exposure.
That's right, yeah.
But they're setting up a scenario, aren't they, where you play for nothing anymore.
Exactly.
Try and find a plumber to come for you for nothing.
Well, that's it, exactly. Yeah.
But these people want you to go and play for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're lucky, you might get fed, but that's it.
That's right, yeah.
Not right, is it?
No. It's like that old thing you've probably seen on Facebook. People put it up, you know. You got $5,000 worth of gear in a $1,000 car and you go and do a gig for $50.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's been said... by people smarter than me, that the arts in general, which certainly includes music, provides the soul for a country. Do you think this country as a whole appreciates its own music? Do you think it gives it its dues? Or do you think they just accept it because it's there?
Well, I think accept it because it's there. Yeah.
Not a healthy situation, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, I hate to sound like an old-timer reminiscing, but... I mean, that 70s rock scene in Melbourne, that was fantastic. I mean, you know, if you're in a half-established band with a name, you worked and you...
Good money.
Good money.
And audiences had a variety of music to go and listen to.
They did too. It was great. It was great.
You could easily, if you wanted, either as a player or as an audience, go to two or three gigs a night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd hear two or three different styles of music.
And all the bands I played in that era, and my mates' bands, Chris Stockley, whatever, all those guys, we're all original bands. I mean, what, we might have done some cover songs. We wrote our own songs too. And it was accepted. It was great. You know? I'd hate to, I mean, the thought of me now, getting a band together, like, let's write 20 songs and go out and do it, go to a pub and present them to an audience. Oh, I don't think I'd be going to even try, you know?
If you had some young kids in here now who came in, you know, they might be 12, 13, 14, and they've got stars in their eyes and they want to be musicians, would you have any advice for them?
No, nothing I could tell them. No, go for it. Go for it. Give it a go. Have a try. Good luck.
Because at the end of the day, we really need live music, don't we?
We do. Well and truly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've still, short of that bus down the corner hitting you, all things being equal, you've still got another 10, 15, 20 years of life left yet. You know, things being equal.
Possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my parents lived to ripe old ages.
Mm.
My father was 92 and my mother was 96.
Well, there so you are, and you're only just in your late 60s, early 70s. 70 this year. So, you know, it's reasonable to believe, as I said, unless the bus hits you, that you could live another 20 years.
Possibly.
If you look back 20 years, an awful lot of things have happened in that 20 years, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, therefore, there's an awful lot of things can happen in the next 20. What would you like to see happen if it could? What would you like?
For me?
Yeah, for you. For you.
I'm probably going to go north.
Back up to Darwin?
Darwin or somewhere, yeah. Darwin or... I like Cairns. I like Noosa. But I don't know if I could afford to live in Noosa.
Yeah, that's... It's pretty... That's now
pretty money, but... I like the tropics. I think
So be a nice place to spend your remaining years?
In the tropics. I think so. Yeah. Maybe Darwin. Because Rob's up there. You know Rob Williamson?
Yes.
He's up there, you know.
So they've got friends up there as well.
Yeah. So I'll end up, I'm bound to end up north, I think so. I mean, Melbourne's great. If only Melbourne was summer all year round, what a great place it'd be.
It'd be paradise.
But, you know, the winter is just so disgusting and repulsive.
And they seem to be getting colder every year, don't they now?
Just vile. Just vile.
And as we get older, our bones don't take to it too well either, do they?
Yeah.
Mick, it's been fantastic talking with you. We've covered a lot of ground. Thank you very much for being on the program.
My pleasure, Rob. My pleasure.
We'll finish off with a track by the Melbourne group Hey Gringo titled One of These Days, recorded late 2017 and featuring Mick on lead guitar.
I know what it's all about. Words will come easy. There's no need to scream and shout. Well, I got myself a new book. Gonna write my story down. Turn a fresh page. And I'm writing it all down. From now on, things are gonna get better. Well, I got the answer to questions I never had. I see my future from living in the past. Time's on my side and I'm gonna make it last. All right. We'll be right back.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.